chapter 1 this morning. A few days ago, a story was in the Boston Globe about a lady who died at the age of 88, Louise Nolan. During her lifetime, she helped her husband as he was ill and passed away, and also had twin daughters with muscular dystrophy, and they were in wheelchairs. She had a small house and she didn't have much money. And this lady who wrote the story was talking about the fact that she was so happy and she was smiling all the time, and she didn't complain about what she didn't have, and she didn't go around saying things of what she wanted and what she wanted for her girls, but she was happy. And she concludes that the reason for this is because she embraced her life, who she was and what she had, and because of that she was happy with who she was and what she had. And this morning I want to ask you, have you embraced your life as a Christian? Have you embraced your living hope as a Christian? And we'll talk about the results as we read from 1 Peter chapter 1 and a little later in the lesson, what that means for us as Christians and the result of embracing this life and living the way we live as Christians. As we begin, let's first talk about 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. And I want us to remind ourselves that when we obeyed Jesus, we were sprinkled with His blood. And I want to ask you this morning, have you embraced this fact that you have been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ? As we've thought about that this morning already in observing the Lord's Supper and Jesus going to the cross and dying for you there and shedding His blood, you have been sprinkled, cleansed, purified, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And have you embraced that as your life? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. And perhaps you can see Jesus on the cross. You can see the blood flowing from His veins and coming from His side, and perhaps you can see that blood falling upon you. In chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Peter says that we were redeemed not with perishable things like silver or gold. Verse 19, but with the precious blood as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Have you embraced this? You have been bought back. You have been purchased from sin, from eternal damnation. Someone had to pay the price for that. Someone had to shed their blood so that you could be saved and you could go to heaven, so that you could have a living hope, and that somebody is Jesus Christ. Have you embraced that into your life, that you've been redeemed and bought back by someone else? Turn your Bibles with me over to the book of Revelation. I want us to notice a couple of things that we receive in this. First of all, as we notice here in verse 11, we understand that we overcome Satan and sin. Here in chapter 12, verse 11, seeing of those who now had salvation, verse 11, and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser, that's the devil, of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God night and day. And they overcame him. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. In other words, it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ being sprinkled, being washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 7 and verse 14, that you have the power to overcome sin and the power to overcome the devil who accuses the saints night and day before God. In chapter 19 and verse 11, chapter 19 and verse 11. Here we see the picture of Jesus Christ coming with His army in victory over those who were persecuting the saints, and behind all of that was Satan, who had deceived the nations. And beginning in chapter 19 verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true, and is righteous. He judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And so here is Jesus Christ coming as the one who shed His blood to redeem us from sin, coming in victory over all the enemies of the cross, all the enemies of God, all the enemies of the saints. And you and I, brethren, have been sprinkled with this blood, washed in this blood, Revelation 7:14. Have you embraced that? The blood of Jesus Christ, the purification of your life. Turn your Bibles back with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's notice verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. You did this, you obeyed Jesus Christ, you were sprinkled with His blood when you obeyed the truth. Verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purify your souls. What is our part? Our part is obeying the truth, the Word of God. The truth which is found here within His Word, John 17:17. What is God's part? Jesus' part is to purify us. Have you embraced this, that you have obeyed the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you have been purified? Verse 14, Peter gives an illustration here. Verse 14, as obedient children. And we know how a child is. A parent gives a command, an order, and the child obeys. If the child disobeys, he's rebuked by a parent, he's chastened by a parent, and he quickly changes his life to do what the parent would have him to do. His child is dedicated to the parent, devoted to the parent, looks up to the parent, esteems the parent, would do anything to make the parent happy. And you and I, as obedient children, living now as the children of God, we have embraced this as our life, those who have been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of this is made possible by Jesus Christ giving Himself on the cross. As Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and he is going to the fruit of the vine and says, this is the blood of the new covenant, His blood which was shed for the remission of sins. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, and this is made possible by Him and His sacrifice. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 9. And I want us to notice something. Hebrews chapter 9. That Jesus offered Himself to God and there obtained eternal redemption. And there, through this blood, our consciences can be cleansed. I want to ask you, have you embraced this, that your conscience has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, beginning in verse 11? But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His own blood, He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. If you can imagine this. And I do not understand, nor do I know, it's not revealed, all the technicalities of this. But Jesus Christ, having shed His blood upon the cross, then entered into the holy place, having obtained redemption, there not through the blood of bulls and goats, but with His very own blood. Verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And brethren, have you embraced this? That I've been cleansed, I've been purified. We'll talk about the living hope that we now have in just a few moments. And therefore, I do not do those things I used to do. I do not do those things of the world. But my conscience has been cleansed to serve the living God, cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. Have you embraced this? Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. This occurs when we are baptized. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. We're in the same epistle, just two chapters later. And here Peter says this. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for what? A good conscience. And brethren, how do we have that good conscience? We're sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's how we have a good conscience, a clean conscience, being purified and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And have you embraced this? I was baptized into Christ. I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. My conscience is cleansed, and now I need to keep it clean, seeking the things which are above, striving after good, holy, righteous things. And we're reminded of this every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. Do you think about that? The body of Jesus Christ given upon the cross, the blood shed upon the cross. And what does that mean for you? What does it mean for me? That I was cleansed, and therefore I have a living hope because of it. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1. We were baptized into Christ, we were born again, and now we have a living hope. A living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Sprinkled with his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Have you embraced this? Do you see this? Do you look at yourself this way? I have been born again. We'll talk about this in a moment from John chapters 1 and 3. But this phrase, born again, only occurs in two chapters of all the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1 and John chapter 3. That's it. And have you embraced this, that I have been born again? And what else does it say? Born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 23 says, for you have been born again not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring Word of God. You've been born again. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 1, and then we'll go to chapter 3. John chapter 1, and he says this about being born of God, verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Now, there are many in religion today who quote this passage and say, well, all you have to do is say some prayer and in that prayer receive Jesus into your life, and then you're saved. You become a child of God. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The word receive here means to receive as the authority of your life. That is to obey explicitly in everything that he commands. And as we see from 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 3 already, to be sprinkled with the blood of Christ, to be born again to a living hope. When does that all occur? That occurs when we're baptized. We'll look at that in just a moment once again. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In verse 3, Jesus says to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And so this is what we're talking about. Nicodemus took it the wrong way. He didn't understand it. He took it physically. But you've been born again spiritually, not physically, and have you embraced that? That you're a new creation, that you're a new creature. Let me just flash some verses here very quickly. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Have you embraced that? Get rid of the old, bring in the new. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ walk in newness of life? And Colossians chapter 2, 12 and 13, having been buried with him in baptism, raised up with him through faith, he made us alive together with him, and that's Christ. And have you embraced that, to have this spiritual life and this spiritual walk? How do you illustrate this? It's very difficult. But I thought of this illustration from the Bible, the prodigal son. The prodigal son went off with riotous living. He sinned against his father. He sinned against God. And he finally came to his senses. You know the story. And he goes back home. And his father is happy and his father is rejoicing. And he says, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. That is because he had repented and now walking the way that he should walk. He is no longer dead, but he is now alive again. And that's what it's like to be born again. He was lost and now he is found. Well, turn back with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And we've already read that this is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ raised from the dead, defeating death, defeating Satan, defeating that which holds man to the grave, that's all torn apart, that now through Jesus Christ we can live, we can have a living hope, not a dead hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice with me, once again, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And I want you to notice from chapter 1 and verse 3 and chapter 3 verse 21. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How so? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now Peter explains to us how this occurs later on in the epistle. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. How so? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brethren, listen to me. When we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, and we are born again, and we have this living hope. Have you embraced this? In other words, do you see, this is who I am, this is what I am, this is what I'm all about, this is who I am. And I live my life as one who has been sprinkled with the blood of Christ, born again, and has a living hope. Do you do that? Well, let me tell you what it means to do that. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5. To obtain an inheritance. All right, now let's sort of get where we're at here. So we've been sanctified, verse 2. Sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, verse 2. Born again, verse 3. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, verse 3. Verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God. Have you embraced this life? In other words, have you embraced the fact, one sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, washed in his blood, born again, resurrecting with Christ, alive together with him, having a living hope, that you have a home in heaven? Do you see yourself one day before the throne of God with all of the angels, myriads of angels, with all the saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Adam, all of the saints? Do you see yourself there? Have you embraced it? Do you own it? Have you claimed it? This is who I am. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. And this, verse 5, protected by the power of God. Now, have you embraced that? We'll talk about it just a moment. Let's go on and get there. Verses 6 and 9, what's the result? Let me read it in a minute. Rejoice, verse 6. Inexpressible joy, verse 8. Verse 9, because of our salvation. Have you embraced this? Or are you just wandering around in life without any aim, without any hope, without any purpose, having no idea where you're going, all down and depressed because things here are so bad? If so, you've not embraced who you are. You're saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have a living hope, not a dead hope. Have you embraced it? Let's read verses 6 through
through 9, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. Man. Protected by the power of God, having a living hope, greatly rejoice. I want you to notice the context here, though. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Now, let me tell you something, and you know this very well. Their trials weren't anything like our trials. Our trials would not even be counted as trials compared to what they went through. And here, they're rejoicing with inexpressible joy, verse 8. Why? Because they had embraced this new life and were not down and out and depressed with some old life with no hope. Verse 8. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. What a powerful life. And verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Have you embraced this life? Who you are, what you are, what you have, and are you rejoicing with inexpressible joy because of the salvation which you possess? Last Sunday night, the Cleveland Cavaliers lost to the Denver Nuggets for the fifth straight time. After the game, the head coach, Mike Brown, said about his team, the Cavaliers, "The tough part about it is I thought we could have at least played harder or fought back. If they hit threes, great. If they score, great." Now he's speaking as if he's a player. "But I'm going to knock somebody's head off. I'm going to grab somebody. I'm going to set a hard screen and knock somebody down." He said the problem was we didn't embrace who we're trying to be. I want you to understand that. Here was a coach that said, "Fine, if we get beat, that's fine. But at least we ought to be who we are and get out there and play. Just not roll over." The problem was they didn't embrace who they were trying to be. They just rolled over and let somebody run over them. Are you embracing who you are? Or are you just rolling over and letting the devil run over you? Are you rejoicing with inexpressible joy? Or are you just down and out thinking about nothing about anything but today and what problems you got today? Or are you looking to the future? Rejoicing with all confidence regarding the things that are awaiting you. Are you embracing your life as a Christian and your living hope? Are you doing that? Are you succeeding as a Christian? Because you're embracing this new life. Or are you failing? Let's all be encouraged and stimulated today. I expect every person here needs to do this just a little bit more. Realize who you are. Be confident about it. Be certain about it. Don't doubt it. And live life as one looking to the great things we have awaiting in the future. And that is when we appear before our God as He sits on His throne. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. Expect to be there one day. And live as one who will be there. The lesson is yours. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become a Christian and you can have what we're talking about. You can obey the Word of God and thus obey Jesus Christ. He will sprinkle you, wash you in His blood. You'll be born again as you're baptized into Christ, and you will rise up a new creature, a new creation, and you will have a living hope. Right now, you've got a dead hope. It will be living. You can go throughout the rest of this life as one having the confidence
with all the saints to appear before God and be with Him for eternity. Or perhaps you've strayed away from the truth and you need to make your life right today. We can help you to do that. Perhaps you've lost your hope. You no longer have it and you need to get it back. And we can pray for you today as you repent of the things that are in your life that you need to change, and you can reclaim that living hope once again. If we can help you at all, won't you come to the front now as we stand and as we sing.